morning, grinders. What's up? What's up? We're back. It's the Weekend Grind Podcast brought to you by Roto Grinders. I'm Josh, Sir Giant, as always, with my co-host, Mr. Chalk, Travis Mangone. Travis, happy Sunday, man. How you doing today?
Pretty good. Getting ready for the MLB slate. It's not a bad one, but it's not a great one. The pitching, man, it's rough, man. Justin Verlander on FanDuel is the most expensive pitcher. That's just against the Astros. Like, what a time to be alive. But excited for another MLB slate. Should be a good one, right? No complaints about just being able to play some baseball on a Sunday and relaxing and watching some games.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's definitely fun. Baseball, man, such a grind. It's definitely a marathon. And, you know, every year that we get into it, it always just kind of kicks in. And, you know, once we get to like late July here and get into August baseball, it feels like all of us are already ready to just get to football already, you know. But yeah, you know, we still got some good action going on here. Still some good tournaments. We got the WF BBC coming up, the World Fantasy Baseball Championship for FanDuel in Chicago coming up. So that's going to be pretty cool. Something that'll be fun to follow. But yeah, we got a good healthy slate here at Locks early, 1:05 p.m. Eastern time. You West Coasters got to get up early for this one if you want to play. And you know, if you're on the East Coast, you can sleep a little bit, but make sure you get up in time to get your lineups out there. Go ahead, give us both a follow on Twitter. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone. That's at Travis, M-A-N-G-O-N-E. You can follow me at Real Joshua Giant. Shoot over any questions or comments. You know, even if you want to say what's up, you want to have any questions about strategy or you need any advice before lineup block, we're always here to help and we're happy to help. So we appreciate you guys listening. And go ahead and do that. But yeah, we got a slate that's kind of different here on different sites. On DraftKings, they decided to include the Baltimore and Texas game at 3:05 p.m. So we got an 11-game slate over there on the main slate, the featured slate. On FanDuel, they decided to cut that game. So we got a 10-game slate. Cuts off at 2:15 with the Arizona-St. Louis game. So definitely going to make for some interesting options on site-specific plays here with the added game on DraftKings. So definitely something that we're going to be looking at. But yeah, I think we're ready to hop in and just go for it. You know, it's Sunday. We'll just get to the meat here and get to the picks, get to the analysis. Travis, you feel good about that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, let's get started. So, hey, I'll kick us off at pitcher. Not the best position today. Very frustrating. But hey, we got some guys like Lance McCullers at the top. Man, Lance has not been that great recently. Like, velocity's been down. It's definitely been frustrating, but ERA and like Sierra, like, it's definitely something that, like, you know, we expect it to improve. So it's one of those situations where it's tough to say what I want to do with it. I think it's more of a FanDuel play at 8,100. DraftKings, I don't really want to pay 10-2. I'm kind of not really super interested in paying that price tag, right? It's kind of getting up there, but there's currently some line movement going down, trending poorly in the Tigers' direction, which has me more interested. It's something I'll probably check out the K prop on in the morning and see. What might be someone I more so look at on FanDuel? I think McCullers is a play that we can look at. He's a very talented pitcher. Again, velocity has been kind of decreased a little bit, but his Sierra has been a lot better than his ERA. He's a guy I just want to have, I want to have interest in. K percentage against these Tigers hitters, like against lefties, 28.2%, against righties, 25.7%. I mean, he's just a really talented pitcher. Like, ground ball rate is, in the 60s against righties and lefties. Like, he's a guy that I want to have interest in. I know people were kind of hitting at me on Twitter saying, stop suggesting him. He's a guy that can struggle, but it's the matchup against the Tigers. Like, the Tigers can strike out a ton. They strike out over 20% on the year. This is just a spot where I think in tournaments, you have to be considering some exposure to him. If you're not, like, you're crazy to not do. In cash games, I don't know if I would go him. There just seems like it's been very worrisome what he's been doing recently. And I'm probably not gonna play cash games, honestly. I think I'm just going to strictly to tournaments and, play cash next week. Just go into the weekend with just some tournament fun action. But what about you, Josh? What do you think of McCullers just straight up? He's someone that's been very interesting lately, definitely been struggling, but it is a good matchup from a strikeout upside perspective. So curious what you're thinking.
All right. So here's my take on McCullers. I do like him a lot in real life. I think the kid's super talented, has a nice bright future ahead of him. And you did mention his numbers are pretty solid on the season. But the reason why he's been struggling lately is something that's it's kind of baffling because, you know, he came out of the gates this season coming back in good form and throwing well. Then something just kind of happened. He kind of teetered off. There's speculation that he's not fully healthy here, you know, and that's something that we really need to take into account with pitchers is that there are guys that will try to power through injuries. And I've been watching him the last few starts. I watched him the start against Baltimore. I watched him against Seattle. I watched him against Toronto. Of course, watched him against my Yankees too. And in all of these starts, he just kind of looked like he was you know laboring hard out there and trying to you know trying to figure things out. And I don't think it's a mental thing. I think he has something physical going on. He's trying to make adaptions to you know to fix that problem or to work through the pain. And you see him wincing sometimes too when he's throwing. There's definitely something going on, and you know we have to take into account too the fact that he hasn't thrown this many innings ever in his career, and I don't see Houston having like you know a terrible need to really start pushing him harder here down the stretch, you know, like to make him uncomfortable. So I think he's going to be on a shorter leash. If you look at his pitch counts, like you know. They're all over the place. Like, they pulled him after 76 pitches. They pulled him after 90 pitches. They pulled him after 89 pitches. You know, they've only let him go over 100 twice in the last 10 games that he threw. So, it's just like, I don't feel like this is a spot where we necessarily need to play McCullers. I feel like I said, because of him maybe not being 100% healthy and because of them not having that incentive to push him to go harder here and to really, like, push him deep into a game. And, you know, Detroit, you know, is not really not you know, like a terrible matchup for him, but it's not the greatest, not like a dream matchup. So for those reasons, I think I'm going to have to fade McCullers on the slate. And I could see him being popular, like I get it, but for 10-2 on DraftKings, it's just such an easy fade for me because of the reasons I stated earlier. And then on FanDuel at 8.1, I could see some merit to rostering him in tournaments, but I think that I'm just going to stay away from this whole McCullers situation. And until he proves to me that, like, until I watch him and I feel like, it's uncomfortable for me to watch him being uncomfortable on the mound, you know? So until I see him comfortable back out there again, I think I could stay away. And that's where I'm at on McCullers now. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea to stay away now, the more, like, you talked about it and think about it. And, like, I was looking at Sierra. Like, his Sierra is 3.21 and his ERA is 3.69. So you expect that to obviously improve. But the kind of, like, underlying, like, tail of the entire thing is, like, that he's been off the DL recently. And he's definitely been struggling since that. And that Sierra is including early in the season when he was absolutely crushing. And he just has been. And Fangraphs actually wrote, like, a really nice piece on it. I just kind of, like, as I was looking at his, like, some of his numbers while you're talking, Josh, I saw the piece. And I kind of pulled it up and looked at it a little bit. But some of his exit velocities on his singles, you know, if... Josh, for instance, if like a single was hit on a guy and it was like softly hit, you'd say it was like, you know, it was very lucky hit, right? But a lot of those exit velocities on those singles are like 97.8, like, you know, they're all over 90 miles an hour. There's like only a couple that are under the 90. So like, there's some proof that maybe he might not be healthy. Like, even in this article that I'm reading on Fangraphs, you know, I also tweeted it out because like, it's a pretty interesting article and I wasn't able to read it all the way through. I was like stumbled upon it during this, which I'm going to read it more, but I'm definitely a little concerned about him. So I'll end up tweeting it out because I think it's a really good article and it's just something to read on Fangraphs and, you know, helps you just get on that and just read it a little more. But I think it's a really interesting article and something just to check out. And, you know, the article's name is What's Up with Lance McCullers and just shows that it sounds like he's just having a ton of issues and he's just working through injury. And I think you're right. Like, all the things you said that as, like, you were looking at. So I think it's a spot where I'm going to end up staying away. Again, I'm a big Lance McCullers fan, so it hurts me to say it, but I'm probably going to have to end up staying away from him, honestly.
Yeah, you know, they just, you know, even if you look, his ground ball stuff is still pretty solid, but, you know, the walks are, you know, multiple walks, and, you know, he just doesn't seem to be, like I said, 100% healthy, and they're pulling him before the fifth inning in the last three games he's thrown. So I don't think he's going to be on a long leash either, and I really, if I'm going to pay top dollar for a guy, I want a guy that I feel comfortable, that the team's going to let him go deep into the game, maximize the upside. Now, looking at the rest of the pitchers here on this slate, you mentioned Justin Verlander. He's the highest priced pitcher on FanDuel at 8.8. DraftKings seems to think of him a little bit differently over there. They got him at 7.9. This is on the flip side of that McCullers game, by the way. And, you know, hearing lots of talks about this is the reemergence of Justin Verlander. And, you know, he has been throwing pretty well. If you look at the numbers, he's bounced back pretty nicely from the rocky start he had to the season. There was that one game where he got absolutely shelled by Cleveland, but other than that, I mean, it's been pretty solid performances. So, you know, his fly ball rates have gone up over the years, and that's something that is definitely concerning, especially when, you know, he's throwing in Detroit, which is not necessarily the most pitcher-friendly park. You know, just where is the upside? You know, like, and I don't see the upside in this matchup here against Houston. Houston, just such a powerhouse offense, and, you know, K percentage of 13.4 against righties, high ISO 196, wOBA 367, 331 BABIP, like, everything is solid, you know, against righties for these Houston bats. There's no reason for me to feel like I have to go Verlander here, so I think that's an easy fade for me. Would you agree with that, Travis?
Yeah, like, no chance I play. And just, like, man, the Houston offense is really good. I get it's, like, a little watered down, obviously, from, like, what's been going on with the injuries and whatnot. But, I mean, I'm not trying to pick on them. So, and Verlander just is, he's getting older. He just has been struggling. So, I'm going to stay away from them.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Josh Tomlin's going to be popular on the slate. That's something that you know,
he might be, man.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. Like, you know, he's a guy that we used to pick on. And now he's strung together some good games. He's 8K on FanDuel. DraftKings has him at 8.9. This is the most expensive I've ever seen Josh Tomlin, I think. And, you know, with good reason, I guess, because he has been throwing well. And if you look at the matchup here, you know, we do like targeting those righties against the White Sox. Big strikeout numbers. I believe it's, let's look at their strikeout rate. Yeah, 27.5% strikeout rate against righties this season. 162 ISO, so, you know, the power isn't terribly great there. 303 wOBA, 321 BABIP, so, you know, the ball's in play. They're hitting for, you know, for average all. But only a 4.6% walk rate for these White Sox hitters. And Tomlin's walk rate is under 3%, both to righties and lefties. So definitely something there to look at. But, you know, the numbers that are really concerning for me are, you know, this huge ISO against righties at 225 and 320 BABIP and 351 wOBA allowed Tomlin to righties. So those numbers are definitely scary numbers to look at. And there is some upside to be had out of these White Sox hitters when they're on. They can hit really well. I'm not sure. It's not like Tomlin's strikeout ability is incredible. It's 19% to righties and 16.8 to lefties. I don't think I can roster Tomlin here either. I think I don't feel comfortable clicking his name. So I think I'm going to stay away. I can see some merit to tournaments because the upside against the White Sox, but it is a hitter friendly park and it's Josh Tomlin. So for those two reasons, I think I'm going to stay away from Tomlin. What do you think, Travis?
See, I really don't want to pay the price tag, but if he fits, like if the glove fits, like last pitcher in and he fits there, I don't mind playing him. I don't think he's a terrible option too. I get the K percentage is not above 20 and that kind of concerns, but I love seeing the low walk rate, right? Like, I know he's not just going to, like, you know, I know he's not going to have like a 20 or 25 pitch inning due to walks. And that's something you really get worried about with your pitchers because they can just destroy themselves with innings. Like if they have like a 25, 30 pitch inning due to walks, like, that just kills their upside. And Tomlin doesn't do that. And Chicago strikes out a ton. I don't think this is a bad spot to attack, especially if the team ends up being like a watered down lineup on a Sunday, because we do see watered down lineups. Like, that's something to very like key in on Sundays. There are watered down lineups. There's lineups that are not as good. So key in on those pitchers that are in those good situations. I think he's a good tournament guy. I think he's a guy I would have interest in. If I was making 10 teams, I would want exposure to him. That's just my personal opinion. Again, I don't love the K percentage being there, but like for instance, on FanDuel, I think he just like gets enough Ks where it's fine. He gets the quality start, he gets the win, and that just puts you enough over the top where at that price tag, it gets you enough bats where I think he's a safe enough option for me. So I would have interest in him in my opinion on this slate because we don't love the pitchers a ton. There's some okay options, but it's not as bad as yesterday, but it's decent enough.
Yeah. You know, let's look here. There's a guy that I really like in real life watching pitching, you know, watching throw, and that's Faria. He's a guy that I really, really love watching throw because he just has such great ability to control where he throws his pitches, has great control over his breaking stuff. He's got a matchup against the Yankees, though, which is like, you know, kind of puts a damper on the whole thing for me. But if you look at the Yankee strikeout rate, 25.8% against righties, but that wOBA at 357, the ISO at 245, that walk rate at 10%, like, you know, these Yankees can hit, and we know that in their home. You know, Yankee Stadium particularly favors lefties, and that Sierra for Faria against lefties at 5.82. So, definitely a concern where his Sierra against righties would be 2.8. So his, you know, his Sierra essentially doubles against lefties, and this is a park that favors lefties. So I don't know. I think I'm going to stay away. I'm going to stay away from Faria on this slate. Pick a different day to you know, throw him in there. Do you have any interest in Faria here, Travis?
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I want to have interest in him, but I just think he kind of misses the cut. It's not the best matchup against the Yankees. Definitely have some worries about that, obviously, because the Yankees hit the ball well. I get Faria's a good hitter, but, like, dude, 5.05 run total from the Yankees, like, I'm just going to pass. That's my personal opinion. I'd rather go on the opposite side, right? Why not play Jordan Montgomery? Against the Rays, I get it's a big ballpark upgrade for the Rays, but Jordan Montgomery, man, he's been really good this year, and he gets a team that strikes out the most in the league. Like, there's just a ton of upside there, and his price has gone up a little bit, but I really think Montgomery's the guy to have interest in. 22.5K percentage against righties, 18.2% against lefties. Walk rate's kind of down, though, 7.6, 5.5. I wish it was a little lower, but it's not bad. I don't have any complaints about that. And ground ball rate, above the 40s, so it's not bad. He's not getting absolutely crushed. He has had some, you know, not so great starts, but this is a spot where there's just upside because it's the Rays. That K percentage is just really high, and I want to have interest in Jordan Montgomery here. I think he's a guy you can play in tournaments for sure.
Yeah, he's one of my top options, like, without a doubt. On FanDuel, 7,500, I think he makes a great tournament option here against the Rays. And on DraftKings at 8K, definitely in consideration there. I think I'll have exposure to him on both sites. I think that's the route to go here. So I think we could be in the same mindset that Montgomery is one of the top pitching options on this slate. And he gets a good matchup, too. You know, his fly balls against righties is kind of an issue at 38%, but... You know, this is a park that really favors lefties, not righties. So I'm not really too concerned about that. So we'll go with that there. And their ISO, too, by the way, really low against lefties at, well, not low, but their strikeout rate jumps up. I mean, against lefties at 25.1% the Rays. So definitely an upside matchup for Montgomery. You know, other guys to look at here, we have Drew Pomeranz on the slate going against Kansas City, 8,700. On DraftKings, Pomeranz on FanDuel coming in at 8.4K, second most expensive pitcher over there. You know, these Royals bats have just been so hot. Like, is this the time to you know, try to pick a pitcher against them in tournaments is the question. If you look at the numbers against lefties, they're not particularly great. 185 ISO, 342 WOBA, 315 BABIP. But that strikeout rate, 20.3%, ground ball rate at 47% against lefties, you know, hitting the ball on the ground a lot against lefties. So, and Pomeranz is a guy with good strikeout upside, 22.5% against righties, 30% against lefties. His walk rate, obviously a concern, though, you know, 9% against righties, 11.8% against lefties. But he's a guy with, you know, solid Sierra under 4 on both sides of the plate. I just, my issue is not really with Pomeranz because I do like him as a pitcher, and I do usually target him when he has decent matchups, but my concern is with how hot these Royals have been swinging the bats, and for that, I think I have to fade Pomeranz here. What do you think about Pomeranz, Travis?
Yeah, it's a huge park upgrade, too, for the Royals. Definitely has me concerned. I'll say this, though, like, Vegas, so there's one, like, Jordan Montgomery is the lowest total on the slate against the Rays at 3.95, but Royals really at 4.01. So Vegas is kind of liking Pomeranz. One thing I will note too, which I think is something interesting about Pomeranz, is he gets the umpire in Nick Lentz. And Nick Lentz is a very good pitcher's umpire. Calls a lot of strikes. So I'm going to have interest in Pomeranz. I'll have a little exposure to him. I don't think he's a bad option to play. Not a guy I'm going to, like, you know, I'm absolutely in love with and will go all in on. But he's a guy I definitely have some interest in. I get the reason to kind of be a little worried and worry about, like, the hot team that's been doing well. But Vegas kind of agrees that Pomeranz could have a good outing. And relative to the slate, I think he's someone we should consider throughout the day. Someone we should definitely be looking at and look at that Royals lineup and see what happens and definitely have some interest in. That's just my personal opinion on it. That's a pitcher I like. And there's two other pitchers I like, Josh. I know you know I'm a big Lance Lynn fan in general. You know, he's just a guy that, hey, he's won me in GPP before, and I don't think he's as bad as everyone thinks. A lot of people just, like, Lance Lynn, like, leaves a sour taste in their mouth. 9,200 on FanDuel, I'm not in love with that. That's the one reason I'm a little worried. 8,400 on DraftKings, easier to swallow. But he gets DJ Rayburn.
He's only 8K on FanDuel, Travis. It's not 9,200.
Oh, sorry. That must be a misprice then for what the, you know, what I'm looking at right now. But okay, so 8K on FanDuel. I like that price a lot better. Yeah, looking at that now, I would definitely play him over there on FanDuel. But like, so he gets DJ Rayburn, really good pitchers umpire, like really good. And we know Arizona can struggle on the road. We do worry like Arizona can play some pretty good lineups, and it should be hot in St. Louis, I'm assuming, because it's been recently. It's only be 82, so that's not like, you know, if it's in the 90s, that'd be a little worried. Wind's blowing in, so that's obviously good for the pitcher. But man, the Arizona Diamondbacks can throw out some really bad lineups on a Sunday. Like, I've seen it many times. I think this is a spot where Lance Lynn can shine, and I'm gonna think in tournaments, I'm gonna have some interest in him. Also, Luis Castillo, I mean, he's just a guy like, he's just been really good. He's super cheap. You know, price tag has gone up, obviously. Castillo costs on FanDuel, he's 7,100, like that price tag a ton. On DraftKings, 7,000, like that's just a price tag I can get behind. And the reason why is the strikeout upside is there. Like, I understand, you know, we saw his last start against the Yankees, kind of struggled a bit, but like at that price tag, find me a guy who is that strikeout upside. I'm sorry, there's not many of them. Like, that he's got insane strikeout upside. In this matchup against Miami, it's one of the tougher matches. They don't, Miami's not striking out a ton, and they've been hitting the ball really well recently. But you have to keep in mind, it's in Miami. Roof will be closed, more of a pitcher's park. I really want to have interest in Luis Castillo here. He's just been really good this year, and he's a guy I definitely want to get behind. Just to like kind of give you the numbers on it, like 27.8K percentage against righties, 25.8 against lefties, 89 plate appearances against lefties, and 79 against righties. Ground ball rate is a little below 60 to both. I mean, I know the plate appearances, I wish I had more sample on it, but he's been really good. Again, he didn't show these numbers in the minors, but this guy just throws like, you know, really high heat, like 90 miles an hour, like 98 miles an hour. I have a ton of interest in me and Josh. How about you? Do you have interest in him? I understand the K's might not, like the K's will be there and he could let up some runs, but like he's just a guy at that spot. Like, he has strikeout upside, and I want to have interest in him.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, I'm not like super anti Castillo on the slate. Like, I wouldn't go out of my way to tell you not to, especially for 7,100 on FanDuel. Like, I can understand nice like tournament pivot there, but these Miami bats, man, they've just been hitting the ball well too. You know, another offense that's been pretty hot at home. So, I think that I'm just gonna go other routes, but I don't hate that play. I could agree with that play to a certain extent. We do have a pretty shallow depth here at pitching, so we have to find our ways around. One guy I'm really going to have interest, you know, we got to find an SP2 for playing on a site like DraftKings where you need two pitchers. DraftKings specifically as a site-specific play, John Lackey is just, jumping off the page for me as an SP2 at 6,200 here against Milwaukee. Now, I know that Lackey's not the guy that he used to be, but he's also not horrible. Like, he still has pretty decent numbers on the season. If you look at that strikeout rate, 22.3% against righties, 5.2 walk percent, you know, against righties. Like, he's had his struggles against lefties this season. He's given up, you know, his like home run to fly ball ratio has been tough, but he's also pitched in a few games, you know, in Wrigley where the wind was blowing out against hard offenses. But you really only have to worry about like hard hitting lefties against him, and that's going to be Thames and Shaw. Like, other than that, I think that he has a pretty good matchup here against these Milwaukee hitters. If you look at the numbers against righties, 170 ISO, 289 WOBA, 264 BABIP, just like atrocious, you know, 28.9% strikeout rate against righties. So there's definitely a good spot for Lackey. And they hit a lot of ground balls against righties, 50.1%, you know, over the halfway mark. And There's a lot of reasons here for Lackey to be in play at this price tag. 6,200 just feels way too cheap on DraftKings, so I think I'm going to lock him in as my SP2. Like, I really like the combo of like Montgomery and Lackey on DraftKings, both priced very fairly and give you a lot of cap left over to put in some big bets. So I think that Lackey here, you know, obviously the park downgrade is a concern because Milwaukee is a really tough pitching environment, but at 6,200, you really don't need like crazy numbers out of him, and I think he has good upside in this matchup. So Lackey is going to be my guy as my SP2 on DraftKings. How do you feel about that there, Travis?
Man, I don't love it, but 6,200, like, that's just so cheap. There's upside there, obviously. Like, that's the reason behind it. Like, there is an upside there at 6,200. Again, I don't It's hard to say to like it, but would you rather play Cesar Valdez, Jason Hamill, or John Lackey? I'd probably rather play John Lackey here. So John Lackey at that price tag on DraftKings, just way too cheap. I probably wouldn't play him on FanDuel on like a one pitcher site for 7,400. I'd rather just go, Jordan Montgomery for 100 more or Luis Castillo for 300 more. Like there's other options I'd prefer. But on DraftKings, I understand why on like a two pitcher site, he could be in play and someone to consider. It's just because it's kind of like the Rays, right? Like the Brewers can strike out a ton. And when they do, I mean, it just is ugly. And that can be a spot where he can do well. And he's, you know, had some bad starts, but he's also had some good starts. And for that price tag, that's just really cheap for him. I would rather not play the other guys around him and just play him for the upside and hope it works out.
Any interest in a Jesse Chavez revenge game here against Toronto?
No, but oh yeah, I'm happy you mentioned the revenge game factor. I probably my last login tweeted out for us. PML, he tweeted out. I saw like while the pod was going on. The Miami Marlins, here it is. Miami Marlins have high expectations for prospect Luis Castillo. They traded him. Like he's a guy that they've like literally punted on a bunch of times. They actually, I think, traded him twice or something like that. So he's a guy that's been at least someone commented and said he traded him twice. I don't know for sure, but hey, the Marlins traded him and gave up on him. And you know, guys who are in like, you know, the minors and got traded, they kind of want to, you know, show why they were deserving to be there. So just gives Luis Castillo a minor bump for me. And I love playing the revenge angle sometimes, especially for pitchers who feel like they got slighted, right? They definitely want to put out a better outing for sure. I don't think revenge is for sure real in baseball all the way, but for pitchers who feel like they've gotten like slighted by a team, I can see them wanting to obviously be more focused and put out a better outing. But yeah, I mean, it makes me feel better about rostering a guy that I feel like is more motivated, but obviously it's not everything. But I think that's just wanted to mention that revenge there. Pretty interesting.
I definitely get that because, you know, when I was in Little League, I was traded from the orange team to the gray team. So, you know, when we faced the orange team, I made sure I pitched extra hard against them. So,
you got to show the orange team what's up. You have to make a statement. This is your time to shine, and don't let the gray team show you up.
Exactly. You know, that's the position that we're in here. I threw four innings and struck out six, so it was a good day for me against the orange team. But in all seriousness, yeah, guys definitely carry grudges throughout their careers, and you know, I think that there's a narrative there to be had. I was unaware of that whole situation there, so. That's definitely something to consider. Why don't we cross off some of these guys here and just get that part over with? So this way, you know, we're clear that there's no interest there. I've Wade Miley only on DraftKings slate. We don't have him on the FanDuel slate. We could check him off, right?
Yeah, no.
Eric Fetty? Is that how you say?
No.
Right, whatever.
I don't know. Yeah,
Eric, I don't care enough to find out. So we're going to go there.
No, not playing him. I mean, it's first MLB start. He gets Rockies now. It doesn't seem like a good spot for him.
Martin Perez?
No, of course not. Never play him.
Jason Hamill?
No, but pass.
Cesar Valdez?
Nope.
Ari Dickey?
Nope.
No knuckleball action here? Okay.
No, not for me. Even though Tyler Flowers has been catching him better, I'll pass. I get the whole streaming against the Phillies, but this will not be a spot I do it.
Freeland?
Nope.
Rodon?
Nope.
Vince Velasquez?
I want to, but no, I can't.
I know. I love him in real life. He's such a good pitcher, but it's just like...
Yeah, he's been struggling since he's been back, though, man. Yeah. It's not a guy that we can really get 100% behind yet. But hey, maybe the spot will be there one day soon.
He's like a guy I would stash in like a keeper league and like a season-long league because
for sure.
Bright future, but just not here. Taiwan Walker, guy that's been popular throughout the season.
No, yeah. Not for me. I get he's going to have a spot against a lot of righties in St. Louis, but... I can't do it, but I think people can make the argument in tournaments, but I won't make the argument in tournaments.
I don't think I've ever heard you suggest Dan Straley, so I'm just going to guess that's a no here too against Cincinnati.
No, I'm not a big Straley guy. Maybe that's a mistake. I'm not a Straley guy. I mean, he's had some decent outings, but I feel like he's never really gets it all the way there. And I mean, he's had some decent spots, but I'm just not a big Straley fan in general.
And Zach, no strikeout upside Davies.
No, I'll pass on him against the Cubs in that ballpark. Not a great spot.
All right. So that's it. We covered all the pitchers then. So why don't we just, as a quick breakdown before we move on to the bats, give me your top three pitching options on this slate.
Yeah, so I'd pick my top three pitching options. I'll go with Jordan Montgomery, Lance Lynn, and Luis Castillo. Those will be my three pitchers that I think I'm going to be looking at in tournaments.
All right. I'll go with Montgomery. Really does get murky after that, doesn't it? All right, Montgomery. Yeah, I could get on board with the Lance Lynn train, especially it's like line. It depends what kind of lineup they roll out.
But, yeah, I'm gonna be looking at that. Like lineups really matter on Sundays. I know like it's like a lame answer, but like on Sundays, like sometimes it like boosts a guy up a little bit.
And I'm just gonna go like I'm gonna tell you, I'll have Montgomery 100% Montgomery tomorrow, and I think Lackey is gonna be my favorite site specific SP2 on DraftKings. So. That's where I'm looking right now. Maybe get some Lancelin in there, too.
But, okay. Yeah, I don't want to sleep on Pomerantz. I could see maybe, like, as I, like, when I wake up in the morning looking at him more, I could see myself getting more on Pomerantz throughout the day. I think he's a guy that we really need to consider more. I just want to kind of mention him again. I think he could be one of the chalkier guys that kind of gained some traction early in the morning. So just wanted to mention him again.
No, I know. I always, anytime Pomerantz pitches, is like, the night before, I'm always like, yeah, I'm just not going to play him. And then I end up having some Pomerantz in my lineup. So I wouldn't look past saying that would happen here. Like, you know, it could happen. So anyway, I think we covered the pitchers pretty well there. With that, we can move on to the batters here. Let's move on to the bats. We'll start with the catcher position as usual. It's not necessarily the best or the worst slate for catchers. I think we have some stuff to work with. So Travis, why don't you kick us off at catcher here?
Yeah, so catcher, I think like Russell Martin against Jesse Chavez is an interesting option. I think he's a guy I want to have interest in. Even Tyler Flowers against Velasquez. I mean, if he's batting in the four hole again, I'd have interest in him. Or like, you know, the Astros guys and Gattis and McCann, I think they're interesting. And if I get Wilson Contreras batting fourth, if I have the money and Zach Davies, sure. But more position, I'm probably going to look to pay down if I can, or paying like the mid 3Ks. Kind of not trying been up to that top tier because I feel like I don't, you know, I'd rather spend about other spots. But again, it's a Sunday and there's a spot where we're able to take advantage of these catchers who are for cheap and end up being in the lineup. Also, Yan Gomes against a lefty and Carlos Rodon, I think he's a good option too, as be able to play. But one of those spots I'll be looking throughout the day, obviously waiting to see what the lineups come out with and see what kind of fits my last spot. Obviously, I'm not prioritizing a catcher. There's not one guy. I'm just like, oh man, I need him. It's not like it's like Gary Sanchez against like a really bad pitcher. But there's guys I have interest in, and I'm like kind of going to be like the last guy in tight for me and try to punt it if I can and fit with my stacks.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that. I think that's a good approach to take. I will say that I do like Russell Martin a lot against Jesse Chavez. I think that
he's do like him a lot. I think he's in a good spot for sure. Like, I want to just stress that again. I like him a ton.
Yeah, so he's probably my top option on the slate at this point, depending on when the lineups get rolled out. And then I think as a DraftKings specific play, because this game is not on the FanDuel slate, but we do have the Orioles and Rangers game on the DraftKings slate, I think you could play Luke Roy here against Wade Miley. Hits lefties really well, has throughout his whole career. 3.2K, nice and cheap too. So I think Luke Roy makes a fine value option on DraftKings here. Would you agree with that?
I think on DK you can get away with going him too. But it's one of those slates where don't love catcher, I just prioritize other positions.
Yep. All right. So let's move on to the first base, the loaded potato position. Lots of options here. One of the deepest positions in the league. So, Travis, kick us off here at first base. Where are you looking?
Yeah, I mean, oh, man, absolutely loaded as usual. Of course, like Carlos Santana or Edwin Encarnacion, if you tell me I had to pick, I'd go E5. I think, you know, Parrott could go for a ride tomorrow. I like him a ton. Big fan of him. If you're not playing Lackey, I think you go Eric Thames as an interesting option. Big fan of Justin Smoke. I think Jesse Chavez is in a really good spot. Anthony Rizzo, he's just been on a hot streak against, you know, Zach Davies. I think this is a good spot for him to be able to hit the ball out of the park. And if you still want to get some Astros exposure, you can get Gurriel in the four hole against a righty like Justin Verlander. I mean, Gurriel just can crush righties. So I think he's another guy to consider too. A lot of good options, but man, I think big fan of Edwin Encarnacion tomorrow against Rendon, and like Justin Smoke against the Chavez, man. It's a really great spot for him. I'm sure you're big on Smoke tomorrow, Josh. Am I correct?
Yeah, free smoke. All day, man. Smoke is in a great play. He's a great play in a great spot here. Definitely like him a lot. I definitely have some interest in Rizzo too. His just price is like all the way up there, so you have to find the cap for him. But I think that he makes a great play. I don't mind me some Matt Carpenter. On DraftKings, by the way, super, super underpriced. 3.4K for Matt Carpenter. I think that's a great price to take advantage of. I think there's a lot of profit potential at that price tag. And then if we're looking on DraftKings for that Rangers game, I think Napoli, again, another fine play against Wade Miley. I always like to play Napoli against the lefty, so certainly in play there. But, yeah, I agree with you. If I have to pick between Santana and E5, I'll go E5 as well. And one guy I think that might get slept on a little bit is Mark Reynolds. I think Mark Reynolds is a guy that, you know, you could get at a very low ownership and has lots of pop in his bat and gets a good matchup against a kid coming to making his first big league debut. So certainly someone to have interest in would be some Mark Reynolds. But, yeah, that's where I'm at. There is a lot of options, as usual, so you just kind of have to sift through them and figure out where you know, you feel the most comfortable going and where you find the cap to go. So for me, right now, while I'm building my lives, my roster construction is leaning towards Carpenter just because his price tag is just so cheap on DraftKings. But on FanDuel, with the pricing being a bit different, I think that you could go ahead and get a guy like Kendrys Morales for $3,100 is a good play on FanDuel at that price tag. And Mitch Moreland's like basically free. He's $2,300, so I don't think he's a terrible play either on FanDuel.
Yeah, for me on FanDuel, like I want to pay up. I think one of those like one of those Toronto first basemen though, like if you go Morales, that's cool, but I'd rather if I could pay up for Smoke, I want to pay up for Smoke at $3,900 and then Edwin Encarnacion at $3,900. Like those two at that price tag, and they're really good plays and guys you want to consider for sure. So those are my two favorite plays if I had to pick Smoke in E5.
All right, very good. Yeah, so with that, we will move on to second base. Lots of options here at second base on this slate as well. Now for me, while I'm building my lineups again, you know, I like to find some kind of correlation to go around here. And, for me, I think that DeJong is certainly in play, going against Taijuan Walker. DeJong's just been swinging a super hot bat and, definitely someone I would want to have some exposure to on this slate. You know, other than that, I also think that Altuve is in play against Verlander, but you know you're gonna have to pay up for him, so just keep that in mind. And I also don't mind some Dustin Pedroia on the slate going against Jason Hamill. I think Pedroia is a fine play as well, and Danny Murphy against John Gray. John Gray is a guy that has a lot of potential. He just hasn't been getting there, so. If he continues to struggle, we should continue to take advantage of it. So I think Danny Murphy is definitely another good route you could look at here. So that's where I'm at second. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, I don't love second. Like, I want to pay for Altuve if I have the money. I'm going to try to pay for Altuve tomorrow. Like, it's going to be something I try to prioritize in second if I can. I think Eric Sogard, if he's batting first against Lackey, you can have interest in that. Like, I just think it's like a cash game guy you can definitely consider against Lackey. But oh man, second is not a position I really like. Not a ton to love. Jose Ramirez against Carlos Rodon, if I have the money, sure. Like I said, Dan Murphy, they're good hitters, but I think I'm gonna try and prioritize Altuve if I can, and maybe just look for like if I need the money to punt in cash games, like kind of look for a punt second baseman. But don't absolutely love second base tomorrow. Not a huge fan. If you can get Juan Moncada cheap on FanDuel, you can get him for $2,600. Wouldn't hate that because of the upside that he possesses, but it's a tough spot. I'm basically looking for a spot to kind of pay up here for like a guy like Altuve. Big fan of him tomorrow.
Yeah, Altuve is certainly a good play. All right, so let's move on over to the hot corner now, third base. Travis, kick us off here at third. Where are you looking at third base on the slate?
Yeah, third base isn't as loaded as normal. Like, of course, if I have the money for Freddie Freeman against Velasquez, I would love to have him. But don't think this is going to be a spot where I end up paying up. Kind of concerned about what I want to do here. If I can get Donaldson against Jesse Chavez, if I'm playing Toronto stacks, like, I kind of want to get Donaldson in there, obviously. So, you know, for $3,800 on FanDuel, if I can get him in, I would definitely get him in. But If I'm looking for some cheaper bats, I don't hate going, Luis Valbuena. He's super cheap. Him or like, you know, Escobar, they'll be batting like decently in the order. Have some pop against guy like Valdez. I think that Angels, the Angels could be an interesting spot tomorrow. We didn't really mention Pujols against Toronto, but just in a spot against this Valdez guy, like I really think these Angels could end up shining with a huge ballpark boost. I think that could help them out. So if you want to go to them as like cheaper cash game guys, I wouldn't hate it, but if I'm paying up, I think guys to go to like, go to like a Chris Bryant or like a Josh Donaldson or a Freddie Freeman. Like, I mean, those are top guys to play, but Donaldson's definitely one of the guys I have like a lot of interest in tomorrow, because I think I'll be playing some Blue Jay stacks.
Yeah, Donaldson definitely a top play for me as well. I think that he makes a great play on the slate. Definitely like Donaldson has so much upside, double dong upside. So definitely someone you want to always consider when he's on the slate. Mikael Franco is a guy that I have interest in against Ari Dickey here. I know what kind of upside this kid has. I know how much pop he has in his bat, and it's going to show up. We got to see some kind of positive regression. We've seen him waking up a little bit. Like, he's been hitting the ball well again. And I think that Ari Dickey is a decent matchup for him because he's been like moving a lot of his weight back in his new stance mechanics, and I read something about how his bat speed was actually significantly slower this season than it was last season, and going against a guy that throws super slow like Dickey, if the ball's coming in flat and he's waiting back, he could definitely absolutely mash him here. So Franco is a guy I'll have interest in. He's 3.3K. on DraftKings, so super, super cheap over there. Definitely opens up other options to pay up. 3K on FanDuel, I think I could pass on him over there. And as a DraftKings specific play, with that Texas and Baltimore game being on the slate, definitely going to have interest in Beltre against a lefty in Wade Miley. Beltre just a career lefty masher, so someone I would definitely be looking at over there. I might have some interest in Jake Lamb here against your boy Lance Lynn. Just a little bit of interest here. I think that's an interesting spot for him. I feel like you'll get him at a very, very low ownership. And it's kind of like one of those, what's Chris Prince say, his beer gut calls. I feel like it's a gut call for Jake Lamb tomorrow for me here. I do like him in this matchup.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, I like Lance Lynn, but like Jake Lamb crushes like most righties, as long as they're not like elite. And man, of like all the righties, like he's been really crushing the ball, like 293 batted ball distance last 15 days, 92 exit velocity. I mean, that's great. That's one of the best of the third baseman. Actually, one of the highest is Luis Valbuena. So he's just like, he's a guy to definitely consider, obviously, but more of a one-off. I wouldn't be stacking Arizona, in my opinion. If you want to,
no, absolutely not. But here's why. Like, if you look at Lance Lynn's numbers against lefties, they're like terribly worse. Like, his ISO jumps from 150 to 220 against lefties. 479 Sierra against lefties as opposed to his 278 against righties. And we also see that walk rate jump from 5.5% against righties to 11.3% against lefties. So definitely struggles against lefties. So I think that, in that regard, I think that Jake Lamb is in a good spot. Has 295 ISO and 408 WOBA against righties this season, by the way. So huge numbers there.
Yeah. I get it, but like if you told me like, hey, Jake Lamb or Freddie Freeman, I'm going to play Freddie Freeman personally over him. That's just my personal opinion. So I would go him every time over him. But I get it. Like Jake Lamb's not a terrible play on the slate. I wouldn't hate it, but there's other guys I would prefer personally. But Josh, when I head over to shortstop, what do you think of the shortstop position on this slate?
Yeah, let's look at short. Now, shortstop for me is basically just going to come down to correlation once again. We were talking about that earlier, where there's not a lot of options, you just kind of find cheap correlation. For that cheap correlation, I'm looking at Lindor, because I do have some interest in these Cleveland bats. I think he makes a fine pairing with, like, E5, or he makes a good pairing with Jose Ramirez. So I do like Lindor a lot here, and I think the matchup against Rodon is a nice positive matchup for him. I think that he could do well. He hasn't really been flashing like a ton of upside lately. You know, he's been super chalky. Like Lindor, I think Lindor being chalky is just showing how shallow the shortstop position is with hitters this season. You know, and he's been doing well. He just hasn't been like popping off. You know, he hasn't had like one of those GPP winning games. And I think that he could do so in this matchup. I think this is a matchup where he could really flash some upside. So definitely have interest in Lindor here. Other than him, I don't mind on DraftKings if you're playing with that Texas and Baltimore game, playing some Elvis Andrus against Wade Miley. I really like stacking these Rangers against Wade Miley here, the Rangers righties against Wade Miley here. So I'm not afraid of going back to the well here on DraftKings with the Texas bats, even though they put up a big donut yesterday. I think that today they could have a huge game. They also have an implied run total of over 6 runs. So definitely something to be interested in on DraftKings. So, but yeah, that's where I'm at shortstop. It's a very thin position. So I'm just going to try to find a way to correlate, wait for the lineups to come out and work around there. But right now, Lindor is probably the front runner for me. How about you, Travis? Where are you looking at short?
Yeah, so I mean, it's one of those spots where I'm trying to like wait to see like if we can get like a pump position at like my cash games. Would rather just punt with someone, obviously. But like Lindor's a great play if you have the money, play him. I think Marwin Gonzalez, if you're stacking up Houston, is just a contrarian way to do it, because no one wants to put Marwin Gonzalez in their shortstop. They just don't want to, obviously. I think Freddie Galvis, if he's in the 2-hole against Ari Dickey, I'd have interest in him. And hey, on FanDuel, Xander Bogaerts against Jason Hamill, 2,800. Love that price tag. Like, I think I'm going to play him as just like a one-off there on FanDuel. Just like, I'm not a big Xander Bogaerts fan. Don't love his upside. He's a guy I don't normally play a ton, especially in tournaments, because the upside always seems on him. But 2,800 against Jason Hamill, like, I mean, that just feels way too cheap. So he's a guy I think I'm going to have a lot of interest in tomorrow, just because I'm buying low on that price tag. Like, even on FanDuel, I mean, even on DraftKings, Xander Bogaerts, 3,500. Just feels really way too cheap. And if you're stacking up the Angels, I kind of want to throw Andrelton Simmons in there. And I don't think stacking up the Angels is a terrible idea. But yeah, man, like, I don't know, Josh. Like, Xander Bogaerts just feels like a very easy play for you tomorrow. And I never say that. So what do you think about him?
Yeah, I know. Bogaerts is a weird guy to handle like that. They've been dropping down to the bottom of the order again, you know. So I think that's been cause of concern, you know, because you usually want to pick guys back at the top of the order because they'll get more opportunities at the plate. But yeah, his price tag has dropped like dramatically along with his lineup spot, and he just really hasn't been like producing any big numbers. You see a lot of zeros lately. So do you think that this is like the game where he's gonna pop, Travis? Is that why you're looking at him?
I mean, it's just like, it's just too cheap for him, right? It's a buy low opportunity. Like, I just want to, you know, there's tons of stats that show like buying low on guys is like a good thing to do. And like, if you buy low on them, they don't do well. It's normally like, hey, they were hurt. That's normally kind of like what ends up happening. And that's kind of what the situation, like kind of with Matt Kemp, like people were buying low on him and like, he just went to the DL. Like, he's obviously been hurt, but I don't know. I just think like shortstop's not that great a position. Xander Bogaerts is way too cheap than normal. And I'm just going to kind of buy on it now and see if I can ride that price tag till it gets up higher. I think it's just a good spot. Again, Jason Hamill, he's pitched a little better recently, but he has had his struggles in his career against righties. Xander Bogaerts is a righty. And this is just a spot where in like a smaller ballpark, I think Bogaerts could get to him a little bit. So it's more so just buying low on the spot with him.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. I definitely agree with that. When you could get a guy that feels too cheap, definitely. Like, that's like kind of like I was saying about Carpenter earlier on DraftKings at 3.4, or like Mitch Moreland on FanDuel at 2.3. If you get guys like that for super, super cheap that we know can produce, you definitely want to try to take some profit potential out of that price and go with it. So, yeah, so anyone else here you want to mention a short, or do you want to move on to the outfield?
Nah, yeah, let's head over to the outfield for sure.
All right, let's look at the outfield. Now, lots of correlation ways to go. I think Jose Bautista is certainly in play. Steve Pierce is certainly in play. They all make fine correlations if you're playing Russell Martin, Josh Donaldson, Smoker Morales. So I have some interest here in the Blue Jay stack for sure on the slate, and I think that Bautista and Pierce are fine connections to that stack. We also want to look at Josh Reddick, I think, here against Verlander. I think that he's someone that could get overlooked, has some upside, so definitely someone to be considering. Makes a good correlation play if you want to pair him with, like, Altuve. I think that's a good, nice little combination there you could do. you know, we're talking about these Red Sox. I think Benintendi is certainly in play. Mookie Betts is certainly in play. But I think I'll look at the lefties first against Hamill. So Benintendi and Bradley will be my top options out of that Boston Red Sox outfield. And Mookie Betts, you know, 4.5 on FanDuel. You know, I haven't seen him under 5K in a while. So again, a guy that's pretty cheap. 4K on FanDuel, I think we get past. But for 4.5 on DraftKings, definitely something to consider there with Mookie Betts. Nick Williams is a guy that I'll have interest in here on this slate, going against R.A. Dickey. I think that he makes a fine connection to Franco, who I mentioned earlier. I think the two of them are certainly in play on, you know, in that game. I think I'll pass on the Colorado outfielders, even though, like, you know, I'll have some interest in, like, Cargo, Para, and Blackman. I just don't think I'd want to pay top dollar for Para and Blackman here. Maybe Cargo at 3.6 on DraftKings. Maybe a little bit of interest there against Eric Fetty. But, yeah, I'm not trying to steal all the outfielders from you, Travis. But, you know, it's just like there's a lot to like here in the outfield. I think this is more of a loaded position than I originally thought going into it. So I have to figure out where I'm going to go. Schwarber in play, too, has lots of upside here. Hayward, super cheap, 3.3 on DraftKings. Definitely someone to consider. And if you're playing on DraftKings with that Orioles and Rangers game, wouldn't mind going some Carlos Gomez here against Wade Miley, especially if he's leading off. But, yeah, that's where I'm at right now in the outfield. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, so I like Joey Bats. Big fan of him tomorrow. I think he's in a good spot to hit a home run. It comes outfield, like you said it, like all those guys I think are in play tomorrow. On FanDuel specifically, Derek Fisher, only 2,200 against Verlander. If he's batting first, he's just going to be like a cash game staple you want to throw in. Like Josh Reddick, too, would want to put him in there, too. And I think like a guy like Mookie Betts and like Mike Trout, I get it. They're expensive, but if you have the money for them, like I kind of want to pay for them tomorrow, especially Trout, like, you know, just in a good ballpark. Like, if you have the money for him, I kind of want to get exposure to him tomorrow. And even like a guy like Cole Calhoun, who's cheaper, he'll probably be, he's not hitting in front of Trout anymore, but he's in a decent spot. I don't mind, like you said, like with the Boston outfield, there's like a guy like Benintendi, you want to throw him in. And hey, like Nick Williams, I mean, that ISO has just been really through the roof lately. And against a guy like R.A. Dickey, I mean, this could be a spot where he really does well. Again, could be something to worry about. Like, you know, when guys first see the knuckleball, they might kind of be concerned. So maybe I back off a little at that price tag. But again, R.A. Dickey's not that great. So Nick Williams could smash the ball out of the park, obviously. But I think there's a lot of guys that like. Big fan of Joey Bats tomorrow, though. One of my favorite outfielders. Hopefully it's a home run and he's in a good spot. And I think there's just a lot of good outfielders to look at. And those are kind of the guys I'm really currently honing in on and targeting. And yeah, those are the guys I like.
All right. Anyone else here you want to mention before we move on to the stack of the day?
I guess one last guy. He's kind of expensive, but hey, Charlie Brackman against this like Fetty guy. Like, we didn't mention a ton of Rockies, but they could be in a really good spot against him. So don't sleep on them. They're not in cores, but they can easily go off. But yeah, I think that's kind of it.
All right. Well, let's move on to the stack of the day now. I think there's a good few routes you could take for the stack of the day. Do you have an idea of where you want to go, Travis?
Yeah, I'll give you my stack of the day. So I don't know if I've already like kind of like showed my hand, but I'm a big fan of the Blue Jays tomorrow. I know they kind of stink when they're chalky. They're not as good, but hopefully they don't become too chalky tomorrow. I'm just a big fan of this game in general. I think like Blue Jays and Angels side of the ball, I'm going to look at getting exposure to both. I think both could be a really good spot. If the Blue Jays end up being chalky, I could see myself jumping on the Angels just because they've been hitting the ball a lot better. It's a good matchup too. And I could see it being, I could just see this being a really high scoring game. So this might be a game I even game stack too. I like it. So Blue Jays are obviously like the team I like, but if they get really, really chalky, you know, on a 10 game slate, I see myself pivoting to some Angels if possible, just because of the ownership difference. But I'm a big fan of, I'm basically a big fan of that entire game.
All right. For me, I think that I tip my hand a little bit as well. I think that this is going to be a good redemption spot for the Red Sox. I think that their offense is going to kick it back into gear here against Jason Hamill. Good bounce back spot at home. So definitely a big fan of a Red Sox stack on this slate. Especially have you know, some extra interest in those lefties, as I mentioned. But yeah, I think this is going to be a good spot for them to score a bunch of runs. So definitely, definitely like the Red Sox as my stack of the day. And I do definitely agree with your Blue Jay stack as well. I think that's a great route to go. As a little special too, I think you could stack up some Indians too. Just want to throw that out there. You know, it was in contention for my stack of the day, but I'll go with the Red Sox. So, all right. Anything else you want to mention before we wrap it up, Travis?
No, that's about it, man. A decent slate. I think it's going to be fun and pretty excited for it. Got some good golf sweats too tomorrow, so hopefully that pans out. Got some decent ones, so I'm excited for tomorrow. Should be a fun day.
All right. Well, good luck to you, Travis. Hope that the sweats run well for you, and I hope that you enjoy your Sunday too. Hope you enjoy some MLB. That's it for us. Enjoy your Sunday. We're very happy that you guys have been interacting with us on Twitter. So go ahead and continue to do so. If you haven't already, give us both a follow. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone. That's at Travis MANGONE. You can follow me at Real Joshua Giant. But yeah, we wrap this up. We cover the slate. Hope you guys enjoy the show. And we will talk to you soon. We'll be back next weekend for the Weekend Grind Podcast. Always here with you guys on the weekends. And yeah, so that's it for my co-host, Travis Mangone. I'm Josh, Sir Giant. Happy Sunday, Roto Grinders. Have fun. All this time in LA, it made me feel different. And I don't wanna feel different. I just wanna be me. Living young, living free. Tell them how I'm supposed to be. Drinking too much rosé, foreign bottles with the gold plate. Come on. All these ballers that I call my friends, we treat these nights like they ain't gonna end. We'll come tomorrow to it all again. I know that's just LA for you. I know that's just LA for you. Everything's perfect, I know, I deserve it. Cause I've been working too hard, about to make this life my job, my God. You can't be serious, know your point is on point like a period. And dominating everything I go through, that's why I'm laughing at these haters on my social. Went on dates with my celebrity crush, and all it proved is that it's never enough. I drove around in luxury cars while my ex is still stuck at the bar. It's crazy, but maybe that's what life's about. Exposing all the dirt and then you wipe it out. But I'm just here for a fun time by the pool in the sunshine. Oh.